Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. For the past 30 years since my ordination, I have heard several things about the church, and none of them are good. The experts say that this is the post-church age. The experts say that people are risingly becoming part of the group called the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. I have seen this on college campuses where young people used to go to church as a matter of course, and now they sleep in on Sunday morning. Coming out of seminary, I was told, don't expect much. And lest that lesson not be driven home to me, in my first church, when I would tell people I'm the pastor of the church, it would be met with a shrug. What does it matter? So why do we come here Sunday after Sunday? Why do we keep the doors of the church open if all the pundits are correct and the church means so little anymore? Well, I'm here to tell you that I don't believe that. I believe that the church is as important today as it was when the churches were full, maybe more so. And I'm here to tell you that 2,000 years ago when the church started, they didn't think it would last past the first century. So we are in good company. But I want to tell you why I think the church is so important. It's our marching orders, and we get it from the book of Romans. When Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he was writing to a group of people he had never met. He had not established the church in Rome, but he thought it was important to talk to them. So he wrote them a letter. And in the letter, he said, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access to this grace." Now, that word access meant somebody who could give you access to royalty. This would have been the king's right-hand person who would have been able to usher you into the presence of the king. And he's saying that through the grace of Jesus, we get ushered into the presence of God. And ushered into the presence of God to obtain all grace, to obtain love, to obtain charity, to obtain everything we need for life. And he hasn't called us into the church so that we can take this grace and keep it as an exclusive little club to ourselves. He's given us access so we can give others access. So that if there's somebody suffering in our community, we can bring them in to the grace of Jesus. If there's somebody in trouble, that we can speak words of comfort and lack of judgment. If there's somebody in need, we can lift them up. Think of this access this way. When Robert was young and he was in a private school, and in the private school, parents would have to take turns doing lunch hours. Now, we didn't do it because we wanted to, but because the school would charge us extra if we didn't. So in order to save money, we would all take our turn with the little ones in the lunchroom, and I hated it. I had been a teacher once upon a time. There's a reason I got out of it. And so I would take my turn with lunch and help the kids get through it, and they had to shovel down their food in 20 minutes and get out and play. And what was worse than lunch hour was the playground time, because I had to supervise that too, and I just hoped that nobody would crack their heads open during my watch. So I had a watchful eye, and I noticed the teachers who would be with me would be turning away from the kids. Thought that was their way of coping, so the parents would watch out for the kids. Well, one particular day, there had been a Christian celebrity came in. This was a young man who had a marvelous voice. He was a folk singer, and he charmed the kids. They had an assembly, and the kids just loved this guy. And after the performance during the lunch hours, he was sitting around giving autographs while the kids were lining up. They were having a great time. So I had my group and I brought them out, and at the playground I noticed one little boy sitting absolutely despondent. He was sitting on the stoop crying. And I asked him what was wrong, and he said, "I couldn't get my autograph. I was in line and the bigger kids pushed me out of the way and I couldn't get near him." And he had his piece of paper, a blank piece of paper. And I said, "I can fix this." So we walked into the lunchroom together, and I muscled my way through the crowd as only I could. And I introduced this little boy to this man. Not only did he give him an autograph, but then he held court with him. That's gaining access when you can't do it yourself. And that's what the church does. We take people by the hand and bring them to Jesus in all his grace, in all his love, and in all his peace. Those are our marching orders, to bring to people the grace, the mercy, and the peace of Jesus. And we do it in so many ways. It's not only what we say, but what we do. The acts of charity, the acts of love and kindness, that bring people the grace of Jesus. Now, Paul goes on. He's talking to people who are Christians and who are in Rome, in a place where the emperor has declared himself God Almighty. Now, can you imagine the politics of that place, the economics of that place? And if you did not ascribe to the fact that the emperor was God Almighty, how that might affect you? They had a rough time in Rome. And so Paul goes on to say there's another benefit. And he says that we rejoice in our sufferings. Well, I know a lot of us have a problem with that because it sounds masochistic. Who rejoices when they suffer? Suffering is terrible. But in this life, we know that it's a part of life. It's a fact of life. We cannot get out of this life without suffering. It happens. And he said, when we know Jesus, there is a way to turn that suffering into grace by our endurance, by our character. Someone once said, suffering colors life, but I shall choose the colors. And when we know Jesus, we know that we have someone who is going with us through the suffering and helping us to endure. And not only that, but once we're through it, we have the wherewithal to help others who are struggling. We know that when we suffer, it gets us really upset if someone who hasn't been through our particular brand of suffering say, "Well, I know how you feel." No, you don't. But there are others who have gone through that same suffering. And when they say, "I know how you feel," we can gain support from that. And so we turn our suffering into healing for other people. And that's another thing that the church does. When someone is suffering, we go alongside and we walk with them. Karen often talks about Sue Sherman. Karen's husband Bob was suffering with cancer at the same time Sue Sherman was. And Sue, in her suffering, would go over and sit with Bob and encourage him. That's rejoicing in suffering. We're taking care of each other through it. The Church of Jesus Christ has a wonderful mission today. And it's not filling the building and building on additions and doing all sorts of things to be cathedral-like. It's not putting on concerts or entertaining. It's gaining access and giving access to people who might not know the grace and the love of God. And it's walking with them through the dark times. How are you and I going to be the church this day? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have called us to be the church, the church not of these four walls, but the living church of Christ. We ask, O Lord, that you would put in our paths those folks who need access to you and who are suffering and need to be walked beside. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us into this wonderful ministry, and we ask that you would use us this week as you will, in Jesus' name. Amen.